Trujillo, who is back from a trip from Los Angeles, where he played at the famed Whiskey A Go Go. And that was, well, first of all, welcome. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Mr. Harris.
And that was what date again? Was that last week?
That would have been a week and a half ago.
Friday, yep. And the Whiskey A Go Go, very famed. I think one of their very first acts, I think, 50 years ago was Johnny Rivers, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And who were some of the others that played on that stage that you were on?
Oh, gosh. You know, the Doors were the house band there in, I think, 66, right before they signed with Elektra. And along the way, Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin in 69 and Janis Joplin, T-Rex, Flying Breeder Brothers, the Birds, everybody. So, yeah, it's guys like Steve McQueen and George Harrison would hang out there and sit in the booths.
God.
The original booths that are, like, sitting right there, and you're just like, you know, just want to soak it all in.
Has it changed much as far as aesthetically? Could you tell? I mean, you obviously weren't there 50 years ago, but, I mean, maybe from photos or anything? Or
well, I'm a bit of a geek, so I was looking up a lot of photos, you know, the old, you know, circa, you know, the glory days, the photos. And, you know, it looks pretty much the same, I think. The stage looks a little mightier now. It looks like before it was just kind of like a platform, really, and a little bit, little gritty. But it looks to be about the same, you know, to me.
Wow.
But, yeah.
Well, we've had a lot of people having success with their music lately. You know, we talk about Gold Murphy. They went to South by Southwest and Amanda Standalone, which you just found out about a few minutes ago.
Yeah, that's great.
And then you were at the Whiskey A Go-Go, so that just told you, that tells you the kind of quality that the music is around this region. But maybe it's for some of the folks who don't know, you went out with a band, but tell us again how that came about, that Michael Pink from Fargo, North Dakota, was invited to hit the stage at the Whiskey A Go-Go.
Well, it was actually through my steel guitar player, Jake Severson, his father. Originally, I should back up. We were just planning a little road trip. We weren't going to play any shows or do anything like that. We're just going to check out L.A. and, hey, maybe while we're out there, book some shows for some other time or something. But he happened to solicit the whiskey through an email, which is something I would never even do, because I would think, you know, I'd be like, well, maybe we can go out there and do some coffee shops and this and that. Well, he just kind of went right for the top, and he threw them an email with a link, and all of a sudden we had a show there. So it was
wow.
Thanks to him, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was it? Well, what was it like when you heard the news? When you got the news? All right, guess what, kids? I'm saying like your friend's dad.
Right.
You're going to the Whiskey A Go Go. You're doing a show.
Well, I remember I was sleeping on a floor, and I woke up, and I had a text.
Was that sleeping on the floor on purpose?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. It's like 50-50 there usually, okay. But this time I'd put myself there. But anyway, so I look at my cell phone and I just had a text from Jake, the steel guitar player, and he's like, "Wake up, we got a show at the Whiskey A Go Go." You know, he made it sound like we were on in 10 minutes, but in a way we might as well have been, because I just pretty much jumped up, and I think we met at the coffee shop and talked about it. And yeah. It
was so you heard this
amazing
while you were in L.A.?
No.
You got the news while you were in L.A. or
no,
back here?
Back here.
Okay.
Back here. So, you know, this was, you know, and I'd known probably for about a month and a half. So in that time, we had just been rehearsing up, and, you know, we kind of threw it together, you know, because of the show. But stringent rehearsals, and Jake's cousin from La Crosse, Wisconsin, actually drove to Fargo to practice on bass, and then when it came time to play the show, he flew into L.A.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot of things behind the scenes that kind of came together for this to happen.
I sense a documentary coming, huh?
It could be. Yeah. I guarantee you that everything is filmed, and I don't know, I may put something like a little...
Really? That'd be neat.
Perhaps. It was interesting, and, you know, life on the road anyways is interesting, and we were out there for about 2 weeks, and which, you know, pales in comparison to some bands that go out for, you know, months at a time. But, you know, we were all kind of new at it, and that's kind of a hell of a first shot, you know, to run out to L.A., you know. And then, and then of course, our show up in Bozeman was literally 2 nights later. So that was one heck of a stretch of driving right there.
Now, when you do shows in L.A. like that, I mean, is the like the amplifiers and all that kind of supplied for you? All you have to do is bring your guitars and drums?
They had house drums and house amplifiers and things like that. But they were moved off the stage. You know, we had brought everything. We were pulling a little orange trailer. It was actually a Harley Davidson like motorcycle trailer that Jerry had kind of remodeled into a equipment trailer. So we'd thrown everything in there. So we had all our own stuff, just like usual. And, it was amazing.
That's pretty neat. What about that night now? How is it structured? I mean, you were on, I think it was 7:30. Is that what I heard?
Yeah, we got a bit of an early time slot. It seems that, well, when we first got the show, it was like us and two other bands. I actually think it was us and another band, and we were like, okay. And then as the show grew nearer, they kind of stacked the bill a little bit, which I guess is common there. Something to do with like return investment, I'm thinking. So we were on a bit early. There was another band right before us, and everything's rush, you know. Los Angeles, if I could put in a nutshell, would be hurry up and wait, I guess. But, yeah, it was very exciting. We had a little mini sound check right before we played, and we just did it. So,
how many people is that, does that hold?
You know, it's not as, none of these places these places are never as big as you think they are. It's crazy. I mean, the Whiskey probably holds about 200 people.
Oh, really?
And change.
Wow, I thought it'd be more than that.
I thought so, too. Yeah, and you walk in there, and you're like, this, I mean, you're not like, this is it, but you're like, you know, I expected something, you know, some great, gigantic place, you know? Yeah. It's about the size, you know, it's smaller than the aquarium, I guess, and probably what capacity would be.
Wow. Michael Pink is our special guest tonight. He's returning from his expedition out to Los Angeles, where he played at the famed Whiskey A Go-Go, he and his band. You mentioned you've got a steel guitar player and a bass player, and there was a drummer too then?
Yes, Rebecca Erdahl.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a four-piece band?
Yes, sir.
All right, very good. Now, I understand, and I'll post it. So I will post it on my website as well. But you've got video of the performance, huh?
Yeah, we actually have two separate videos. One was shot by our friend Ryan, who was along for the ride, who was up in the balcony. They have when I say balcony there, we're not talking like anything fancy. It's literally like there's stairs and there is another floor, but it's not a balcony. You know, it's nothing fancy. But he was up there doing some footage from the side. This is just with like an iPad that we had along for the trip, mm-hmm. for entertainment. And then out front, Jerry had a nicer camera, so we're editing that footage down, just to have it as a memento, and we'll slice it up and put it up on YouTube probably with who knows within a couple weeks or something.
Yeah. So this was not something they did for you. You brought your own cameras then?
No. Yeah. We brought our own.
Wasn't house cameras?
No. They have a deal there, as you'd about imagine, where every band that comes in there has an option to have their performance professionally filmed and recorded by the crew there at the for their historic Whiskey A Go-Go show. But it was like $500, you know.
They
dropped it on like right before you go on stage. They're like, hey man, you want this like forever? You can relive it forever. $500. Right. That's the LA way.
Say no more. Say no more. Yeah. I can understand that. That's for sure.
I was like, yeah, Jerry's out there with a video camera. We don't need that.
And like you say, some of those are awfully good too. Awfully good quality, awfully good pictures.
Oh, sure.
Nowadays, you probably really didn't need the $500 one. That's for sure.
Yeah. And not to sound boastful, but I'll be back there and maybe I'll have $500 with me. Who knows?
You're going back.
I'll definitely play out there again. I'd have nothing booked, but after going out there, I think, I have a manager friend, Doug, who's, he was at the show and he was like, yeah, you should do this place and you should do this place. You know, that's one of those things. I mean, it took getting out there to see what was out there.
Okay. So. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask you the crowd reaction.
All right, sir.
And I saw in the video, it looks like it was pretty doggone, but good. And also want to ask you about the Sunset Strip, okay?
All right, sir.
We'll be back. More with Michael Pink. You're listening to Nighttime Live here on... tell me you did that song.
Yes, actually, in two different languages. Yeah.
So,
love it.
That, of course, is Johnny Rivers. And is that, was that from the Agogo? Could you tell if that was or not?
No. Just, okay. It sounds like
it sounds like a crowd in the background.
Yes, it was, Bob.
That's why
it was.
Curious.
It was. So I recorded it myself.
Well, that's
how applicable.
His first album was from the Whiskey Agogo. So,
yep.
So tell me about the crowd reaction. 200 people.
Yeah, and I mean, we're talking.
Oh, by the way, Michael Pink is our guest. Sorry, got to reintroduce you.
Hello. And yeah, it was probably about 3/4, you know, the capacity. You know, Friday night it was pretty decent, and there were, you know, plenty of other bands. You know, I only know a certain amount of people, and we only had, you know, we had our people there, you know, but the place was pretty well, you know, cooked, and it was great, you know, to be honest. And you know, everybody always wants to give you that, you know, like, oh, there's a tough audience out there. You know, it's like they breathe different air or something. But no, we just got up there and, you know, did our thing, you know, told them where we were from and faked a Fargo Coen Brothers accent for half the set. No. But no, it was great. You know, right after our first song, I knew it was going to be a great night. People were really receptive. And I think about after our second song, you know, we had people right up against the front and it was people locked in and we locked in, and it's, you know, that push-pull thing you get from the audience, and it worked out gloriously.
That's cool. Did you, I know a lot of times when you're out, you are able to sell, you know, CDs and that kind of stuff. Were they, were you able to do that there?
Left them in the trailer, actually. So,
you did?
Yeah. That just shows how, you know, we're not doing it for the money, but it shows that we're very forgetful.
You're at the Whiskey Go-Go, you would do that for free.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, it was just one of those things where, we were sitting around, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, all right, you guys are up, and, you know, we were waiting around all day pretty much, and then all of a sudden it was, the time was nigh, so.
Yeah, that's neat. The so 3/4 full, but I imagine it's probably fuller because you were on pretty early.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even at that time, yeah, I was impressed by the turnout there for sure.
Yeah, comfortable on the stage, no problems at all, no shaking of the nerves or anything.
I wasn't nervous at all. I haven't been nervous since probably my first show or second show. We talked about it afterwards, and I guess like none of us were nervous, and we were all wondering why, but we just weren't. I don't know. I guess we'd been, you know, just thinking about it for so long, and once we got up there it was great, but you know, we just kind of fell into our natural groove, I guess. And
you said you were out there for about 2 weeks, so we must have been up and down this Sunset Strip a while, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we spent a few days just wandering around, and
give me some of the highlights.
Oh gosh, I would say, well, just little places, you know. This is what we were into. I mean, we went to the Rainbow Room, which is not a little place. Obviously, it has great...
Famous place.
Yeah, but, yeah. Warren Zevon wrote about it, you know. I can't remember what song it was, but anyway. And went to Mel's Diner, you know. Had the world
the
famous...
The Mel's Diner?
The. Yes.
From Alice? No.
And just went to some guitar shops and this and that. And, you know, there are a lot of things to do, a lot of places to see. You know, there's the Viper Room, you know. Every place you look has its... you know, historical significance, you know, except for, you know, Starbucks or something there. Mm-hmm. You know,
which is, I imagine there's one of those in every corner, probably every corner.
Yeah, you know, some of the places have been, you know, replaced by not so splendid little places. But it was quite funny. I was loading into the Whiskey. I was on Sunset, and I was holding my guitar, and I was always curious about, I don't know if you're familiar with the club, the London Fog. It was two doors down, evidently, from the Whiskey. Well, this is the place where the Doors played their first ever show. This is the place where they played. They were the house band there before they were asked to play the Whiskey. Well, I'm standing out there, and I'm like, I wonder where this London Fog place was, because it closed down in, like, 1969, you know. So all of a sudden, this guy pokes his head out of a door. He's got keys, and he's like, hey, you guys playing tonight? And I was like, yeah, we're playing the Whiskey. Well, and I'm like, do you know the Strip very well? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, where's this London Fog place, or where would it have been in accordance to where the Whiskey is at? And he's like, you're looking at it. He just bought the building like about a week ago or something. So he's like, you want to take a look? And I'm like, yes, I do. And he just, you know, brought me inside, and it was great. Got to see the little stage area, you know, of Mamas and the Papas, you know, and the Doors, and you know, once again, you know, all the LA stuff happened there even before it happened at the Whiskey. And once again, the room is literally about the size of the studio here, you know. Yeah. It was just, you know, small.
I should ask you too, because I know down in Clear Lake where Buddy Holly played, everybody has played on there, has, you know, signed the wall of the stage. You know, it's just stuff written all over the place.
Right.
You find any of that kind of stuff, whether it be at the Whiskey or London Fog or any place?
Well, it looked like they had pretty much, I mean, we had a dressing room and everything. So if it would have been there, we would have seen it. It looked like people were pretty respectful of the inside of the Whiskey. Now, on the outside, you know, you get stickers here and there, you know, some band, you know, rolling through. But no, for the most part, there was nothing like that. I am familiar with that. The surf ballroom.
Right, right.
I would love to play there. But anyway, as a side note, but no graffiti, no, we were here or anything like that.
Ah, shoot. Yeah. That would have been cool to see. You know, if you could have seen Morrison's name handwritten up there on the wall, because probably would have chiseled it out and sold it.
Oh, absolutely.
If it was there, you know.
Yeah, actually, he rented a room on Sunset in a hotel permanently, room number 5 at the La Cienega Hotel. And I was watching a video on YouTube, and, you know, they'll have some tourist videos where people go in there and they'll actually, you can rent the room. I'm sure it's, you know, probably who knows how much money to even do it. But, and the whole room is just covered in graffiti. I don't know if you've ever seen his gravesite. It's the same way. It's massively, you know, people
leave stuff there, bottles and.
Right. Yeah. Spray paint everything and, you know, give their little, what they think is a unique marker, significant to them.
His supposed gravesite.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, he's still alive. Yeah, I know.
He's still down there at number 5 at La Hacienda.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you go down there on a weeknight, you might run into him. Who knows? You know?
The group, it was a 2-week stint. Did you play more, you said? You played in Montana 2 days afterwards?
Yep, we played Bozeman at this place called the Country Corner Cafe. A friend of mine, Curtis, runs that thing there. They do a Sunday night kind of like a music, it's just like a music club night, you know, and everybody comes down, and it's a great place to play. I was really looking forward to getting out there, and it was great. Costas came out there, of course, and had a bunch of his old cowboy friends there.
Yeah, for the folks who don't know, that's not Bob Costas we're talking about.
No.
It's Costas with a great big long name that's Greek.
Yes.
And so we'll just call him Costas the songwriter.
Costas. Yes. Yeah, and yeah, it was great. We played our set out there, you know, ended up getting there a little late, which is, that's just how it works on the road, you know. That's a long drive from L.A. to Bozeman, you know, especially in that time period.
I can imagine.
And, you know, you do have to sleep sometimes. So we're all trading off the steering wheel and trading off the phone charger.
Did you run into any of those blizzards, by the way, when you went there and back?
Well, we had a little bit of snow here and there. The only real holdup we had was, well, you know, driving in L.A. pretty much all the time, which is always a holdup.
Oh, yeah.
But we were stuck around the Denver area because of a ice-related little car pileup. Evidently, nobody was killed. But it was we were stuck in Frisco. I don't know if you're familiar with that town. It's a suburb of Denver. Beautiful, though. Just gorgeous. I'd never seen.
I was going to say Texas. You were in the wrong direction, but you know.
Yeah, yeah. We had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, yeah. So it's something you obviously would do again. But I mean, your relatives, your friends. I mean, what's the reaction been since you came back?
Just, you know, I've been kind of hiding out a little bit. I haven't even really been downtown or done anything to really see too many people. You know, just close friends. You know, mm-hmm. All very happy and intrigued. You know?
This show.
Yeah. Yeah.
So have you got any more gigs coming up here, or are you just going to take a breather for a while?
Well, I'm going to take a breather until May, and then May 1st, I'm doing my last show in Fargo at the Aquarium. So that'll be, I think that's a, I'm not sure what night of the week that falls on, but friends of mine from the cities are coming. They're in a band called High on Stress, and that's actually going to be one of their last performances too. So we're both, they're hanging it up, I think.
I was going to say, because there's a lot of people whose jaws are dropping right now when you say that's your last performance.
Far less jaws than you might imagine, Bob. But no, it's, it's just one of those things where, you know, you got to go eventually. And
you're heading out of town to still perform, though, right?
Yeah, I just, you know, but it'll be a little bit of a scattered thing because I just right now I just need to concentrate on writing and recording. You know, I've hit a wall where I just, you know, live, I've just been, you know, kind of, I've got new songs, but I'm more excited about the ones that I haven't recorded yet. And it's just, I don't know, more important to me to get the new stuff out than, you know.
Gotcha. You know,
unless somebody comes with some big bank. Then I'll totally play.
Yeah, then
it.
I'll go back and get that professionally videotaped $500.
Yeah, there you go.
I can't. We're gonna post the one at the website here very soon. The one that you've got on YouTube already, so maybe it'll be a little easier for the folks to find.
Okay.
But you say you will have another couple probably coming up in the near future, videos.
Yeah, it's well, the video was recorded. Yeah, two different cameras. This one that the people will see by visiting the website is a little bit rough, you know. It's from the side, it's up from the balcony. But another one, which was filmed from right out front, will be, you know, maybe sliced up and put on YouTube or something like that, and better video and better audio quality.
I can't wait to
from
see
that
it.
One.
I can't wait to see it. But it's really cool to see you up on the Whiskey Go Go stage, man. That's really great. I'm really happy for you, man.
Well, thank you, sir.
I appreciate it. Thanks for stopping by tonight.
Thanks for having me.
This is the Mighty 790 KFGO. That is Michael Pink. And, oh, by the way, got any websites you want to plug or anything?
I'm on Bandcamp. I'm on Reverb Nation. I'm on, you know, just...
Just type in Michael Pink. You'll find him.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm, yeah, I'm all over the place.
All right.
No, I'm not.
Thanks, man. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Take care. This is the Mighty...